Captain Talent Radio.
We are officially in record mode. The lady from Missouri, please send me a friend request and a message after the call. I'd like to reach back out to you and connect with you. That is the wife of Marty Albertson. So I'm looking forward. That is a small world. So it's great to have everyone on tonight's call. The last Tuesday night, 2016. What a great year it's been for many of you, and I'm honored to be your host for tonight's call. I've been hosting this call for going on 19 years. I have an exceptional topic for tonight's call. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements, then I'll move right into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. Hats off to Amanda Bobbitt. Amanda absolutely delivered. Amanda is hosting an event on Saturday, New Year's Eve Day. Now, this is the first time I've ever spoken on New Year's Eve Day. I've been speaking for 19 years. I routinely fly 155,000 air miles on United, another 20,000 on additional airlines. I speak 40 to 50 times a year, and never have I spoken on New Year's Eve Day, and that's usually a holiday for most of society. Amanda Bobbitt in Pasco, Kennewick, Richland, Washington, Tri-Cities area, about 3 hours straight east of Seattle, is hosting an event that she single-handedly sold out this weekend. So standing room only. We had to move hotels. That's the kind of commitment she has. So Amanda, thank you very much for being a first-class multipreneur. Saturday, January 7th, I will be in Phoenix, Arizona with Susan Sly. January 21st, I'll be hosting a one-day event in one of my favorite cities, Los Angeles, California. January 28th, my first visit to New Orleans in about 5 years. With my brother from another mother on February 4th, I will be with Joe DiBianca in Philadelphia, one of my favorite all-time cities, La Jolla, California. That will be February 11th with C.G. Siddons. I'll be on the East Coast for back-to-back events on the 25th and March 4th in Weehawken, New Jersey, Norwalk, Connecticut. I'll be in Minneapolis on March 11th for the first time in 5 years, Baltimore, Maryland the first time in 2 years, 3 years, Long Island, New York, March 25th, and then on April 15th, definitely a date to put on your calendar. Now, this merits a little content here. On April 15th, I'll be sharing the stage with the great Dr. Joe Dispenza. Many of you got to see Dr. Joe Dispenza March of 2016, so it'll be 13 months in between March and April 15th when Dr. Joe speaks. Dr. Joe is not easy to book. He's usually booked a year and a half out for private or for public events. He does a lot of his own private events, but for a public event, he's not easy to book. He's been a guest speaker on my call a couple of times, and he will be Saturday, April 15th, that will be at the Meadowlands, actually, not Edison, the Meadowlands, New Jersey, with Dr. Joe Dispenza and Alexis Romano and myself will be sharing the stage, a one-day event. It's very impressive to see that people are buying tickets from all across the United States. Nicole Crawford in Wasilla, Alaska, just bought a ticket. Now, there are two tickets. There's a $47 ticket general admission and a $97 ticket for the first 120 seats or so. We have a few seats left if you want to purchase a $97 seat. All seats will still be good. There will be about 500 people at the event. The following week, I'll be in Albany, New York with Frank Pecoraro, and April 29th, I'll be in Boston with Abby O'Neill. Now, those are the events up to the first 4 months of calendar year 2017. If you're on this call and you've never taken advantage of my free 15-minute coaching session, feel free to reach out to me by sending me a Facebook message with your phone number and what you would like me to assist you with. I've coached over 12,000 clients in my career, 60,000 hours one-on-one. I've coached many multi-millionaires. I've coached many business owners. I specialize in addictions, recovery, letting go, branding, sales, marketing, how to run a successful business from the comfort of your home, or how to run a traditional business from a business. I've also been a business owner for over 35-plus years with 28 years of sobriety, so I cover a lot of content and a lot of ground if you are seeking some immediate relief and or insight. And with that, we're going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. It's with great pleasure I bring to you a topic that I wrote a book on a little over 2 years ago called The Anger Factor. for a number of years in my coaching, I referred to a book called Angry All the Time by a husband and wife team called Efron and Potter, and they also had a series of workbooks and companion books. After referring that book to many, many hundreds of my clients, I wrote my own version of what was required to release anger. Anger is an emotion. Anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings are the traditional anxieties that typically take us to a state of fight or flight, takes us out of our element, takes us back to an emotionally addicted state, takes us back to past events. Now, if you have repressed your anger, don't understand your anger, get angry frequently, or are angry all the time, then this call is dedicated to understand simple techniques in releasing the anger cycle. At the end of the call, I'm going to offer some products along with a lot of bonus products that you will be able to purchase from me that will give you great insight in how to be and stay in the state of releasing your anger. Anger is typically based on a past violation. It can be physical, it can be emotional, it can be taunting, it can become the playground, it can be sexual abuse, any multitude of situations. Anger is typically a held-on emotion. When held on long-term over a long period of time, that anger that is repressed is called resentment. There's also another form of anger, hate. Hate, anger, and resentment. Then there's other forms of anger. There's rage and all the other multitude of situations. Now, there's a high probability that each and every one of you in tonight's call have been touched by anger, yours or someone else's. It's also a high probability that many of you on tonight's call grew up with passive-aggressive personalities in your circle of influence. Could have been a mother, father, brother, sister. You could have been the last person in a family where you had a brother or a sibling, a sister, who was very, very angry at you for being born, or any multitude of situations that can put you in a state of fight or flight. Repressed anger, held on to anger, often manifests itself in addictions. We oftentimes repress and stuff our feelings. Those repressed stuff feelings typically lead to our emotionally addicted state. Now, if you're building a team and you're seeking to attract like-minded individuals, you want to make sure you're not attracting like-minded, repressed anger people to your circle of influence so you can be and stay angry. It's very easy to resent people, especially when you are a addicted over-obligator, giver, server, you have codependent tendencies, are an enabler, or have challenges saying no. Oftentimes people over-obligate themselves and overwhelm themselves in the same body to create their fight or flight. If you're a chronic over-obligator, an addicted over-obligator, there's a high probability that you will do too much for others. You may not even know you're doing it because of your tendency to feel guilty. If you live in an emotional state of guilt and or shame, there's a high probability you will be guilted into doing situations that you don't really want to do, but because you have challenges confronting the situation, you'll go ahead and comply, and then you'll end up being angry. Have you ever over-obligated yourself and gone beyond the call of duty? You've done too much for people, or you've done what you thought was a noble deed or a great service or a random act of kindness, and you expected some kind of recognition, a simple hello, a thank you, I really appreciate you, and you didn't get it? Well, there's a high probability that that pissed you off. It didn't make you angry, you became angry. Have you ever had someone say, "You make me angry"? Well, actually, no one can make someone feel anyway. They feel the way they feel because it brings up a past emotion based on a previous event, typically that's been repressed or stuffed, and then you can become the target. How many of you married someone that's angry? How many of you dated someone that's angry? How many of you have been the victim of someone else's violence and or angry? How many of you grew up with someone who lost it? They lost it. They temporarily lose it. How many of you grew up with someone who, and you would experience road rage in the back of your car? You were sitting in the back seat and one of your parents was losing it. And how many of you ever went out with one of your parents or family members, and they were very volatile and they were embarrassing to be around? They would embarrass the waiter, the waitress. They would find the flaws in situations. They would pick people apart. they were racist or any multitude of situations, and it was embarrassing, and you found yourself looking at your feet. Well, if you grew up in that kind of situation, there's another problem that arises out of growing up around anger. It creates a state of fight or flight. When you grow up around someone who's unpredictable, your body begins to react to that unpredictability. Unpredictability becomes predictable, and in a fight or flight situation, your body begins to flinch and flex. It becomes an unconscious situation. This explains why so many people have challenges articulating their feelings into words, because they grew up with someone that they could not perform to their standards. No matter what they did, it was NGE, not good enough. If you grew up with someone who was highly critical of you, no matter what you did, your grades weren't good enough, your performance wasn't good enough, and you would wake up in the morning and you could hear the cabinets rattle because you know someone was already up from the night before, drinking or doing whatever they do, and you could hear that downstairs, your body would begin to react to that situation. Now, as you begin to learn to let go, meaning separating your feelings from the events that shape them, and you learn how to respond, there's a difference in a response. It's a different type of reflex. If you have any athletic skills, athletic talents, and you have hand-eye coordination, you mastered the skills of being an athlete, and you live in those types of reflexes, that requires a relaxed intensity, not an angry intensity. But if you're a very intense person and you tend to lose your composure, well, tonight's call is dedicated for you to find a relaxed, simple way to be composed. Letting go of anger is a skill. Being able to identify other people who are angry is also a skill. Being able to take a deep breath, release, and let go neutralizes the neurons that wire and fire based on a past event that has become your identity. And if you identify with being angry frequently or more than you want to be angry, tonight's a great time to take some notes, have a better understanding of cause and effect, why you do what you do, and begin a simple, relaxed process called letting go. I'd let go if you would tell me to, many people would ask me. Many people ask me in my coaching, how do I let go? Letting go is not a how do I, letting go is an I am process. It's a commitment one day at a time to letting go of the feelings that shape your identity. When you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your feelings, then you are you and you are free. When you're able to let go of your anxieties, then your body will not stay in a place called fight or flight. It will allow you to enhance your ability to connect, communicate, articulate your feelings into words. But when this always happens to me, always happens to you, you're predicting your future to fulfill your disappointment. Disappointment is also closely connected to anger. A large percent of society lives in a disappointed, overwhelmed state, over-obligating themselves to be and stay disappointed. A large percent of society is addicted to disappointment because this always happens to them. This will also explain the phenomenon of why so many people start but don't finish. To be a closer is to be a finisher, and to be a finisher is a closer. The way you do one situation is the way you're going to do a lot of your situations in life. If you find yourself have challenges not finishing or not closing, there's a direct correlation about how you avoid failing. If you avoid failing, there's a high probability that you will be angry. You'll be angry at yourself for not succeeding, while you'll be angry at yourself for not failing, because the ultimate situation is you continue to be and stay disappointment. Well, how does anger affect your life? How does anger affect your business? Now, in asking you these two questions back to back, I'm going to ask you to be objective about this question. The key point would be metacognition. Now, if you can go to bed tonight without being critical today, you were not critical of yourself once today, then congratulations, you are in recovery. But if you were critical of yourself or critical of others today, there's a high probability it touched on your anger. Now, typically, people don't correlate anger and criticism, although they're closely related, because you get angry at yourself frequently. You can't believe you did this. You can't believe you relapsed. You can't believe you didn't finish what you started. You had good intentions, but a very poor delivery. And if that's what you do, then there's a high probability that you are angry. Unresolved anger has a cause and a direct effect. If you're angry, that's an effect that has underlying situations that would lead to the cause that created the effect. The reason you're angry is because events. Events shape your feelings. Feelings become moods, and moods become identity. But if you're one of the multitude of people who continue to reinforce and say to yourself, my whole childhood was a blur, I don't remember that, I don't remember what happened to me, I forgot, or I don't remember, then that's a large percent of why you hang on to what you hang on to. When you are serious, committed, and ready to release and let go, then you will begin a different process of recovery than you've ever given yourself permission to step into. And as you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events, then you're going to change your energy. As you begin to change your emotional energy, you will begin to attract your reality in a much more frequent, relaxed state, a different type of person that you can relate with, connect with, collaborate with, and create multiple business ventures with. In the law of averages, and when you start to understand the law of averages typically break down to the law of the few. Now, you can't win them all, but I'll tell you this. My alma mater, Northwest Missouri State University, has won over 30 games. Now, that's miraculous. Two back-to-back national championships in their division in college football. But eventually, they are going to lose. That's just the law of average. But as you begin to start to understand how predictable people are, and then you're not emotionally overwhelmed, and you learn not to personalize situations, because that's another key component in an emotion called rejection. And if you have anxiety about being rejected, there's a high probability that you will avoid the process or the potential of being rejected. As you begin to change your identity, change your words, change your feelings, and start to have a better understanding of what rejection is and isn't, then you won't personalize it. A large percent of why people get and stay angry is they personalize situations. They make up stories. They tell themselves stories. They make people wrong. When you set people up to disappoint you, or someone sets you up to be disappointed, someone is going to be angry. Now, keep this in context, there are going to be people who say you make them angry. Be sure to point out the fact that you don't have the power to make anyone do anything. They're angry. Now, if you provoke someone to be angry because you have conflict consciousness, that's another situation. And if your body is emotionally addicted to conflict, then you will sabotage yourself. You will find ways to provoke other people so you can be in that kind of conflict. I recently encountered someone who was relatively close to me, and I watched them over a series of nights do their best to see if they could provoke me into conflict. Because I no longer have a conflict consciousness, and I understand how predictable human beings are, I did not succumb to that type of behavior. I was able to easily and effortlessly neutralize that situation. Instead of explaining, justifying, and validating myself, I was able to ask that person a question who was attempting to provoke me into conflict. Now, the old me would have relapsed right back into that conflict. Then after I went home, I would have been pissed off. I would have had a story. I would have stayed up late. I would have plotted my revenge. I would have come up with all kinds of situations how eventually I was going to get even with that person. That's the mind of an anger addict. An anger addict wants to get even. An anger addict plots. An anger addict seldom acts on their situation, although anger can oftentimes explode into violence. As you begin to let go of your unresolved anger, have a better understanding of why you're angry, and then start to develop some relaxed release techniques in letting go of your anger, you will begin to change your energy. Another byproduct of anger is anger makes you very unattractive. Have you ever encountered someone you could see how angry they are and you wanted to get away from them immediately? Have you ever seen someone who's very hostile and they go out of their way to make people wrong? Well, these type of people are very unattractive, not so much physically, but emotionally. Have you ever had someone set you up to disappoint them so they could justify their disappointment? As you become consciously aware of cause and effect, why people do what they do, as you're no longer attached to rejection or abandonment, as you're able to be you and be present, you'll have a much better understanding of why people do what they do. Then you will not put yourself in a law of alignment where you're number one in conflict, where you're in someone else's anger. You'll be in a position where you can neutralize people's anger relatively quickly. Here's a key component when you encounter someone who is angry. First of all, don't get in the ring with them. Do your best to take a deep breath and release any type of situation that will lead to conflict. Two fools arguing is two fools arguing. There's seldom ever any win-win that can come out of an argument. There's a difference between an argument and debate. There's also a difference between being diplomatic. Now, if you're diplomatic and the other person is angry, then your objective is not to win. Your objective is to neutralize. As you learn to neutralize someone else's anger, then you can stay in your body. You can stay calm, cool, and composed. Your body won't go into fight or flight. You won't lose your composure, and you won't lose it. Now, if you're one of these people who is a practicing loser, meaning you lose your composure, doesn't mean yourself are a loser, but if you tend to lose your composure, then you're going to spend, your body is starting to sensitize itself into emotional anger, which becomes an addiction. And oftentimes, many people don't even know how angry they are, and the people who oftentimes who are very passive-aggressive in their anger are shocked when you point out their anger because they think they're noble, they're doing all this service, they're over-obligating themselves, they're practicing fanfare for the common man. And when you start to understand these people, then you will spend less time getting emotionally involved, attached, connected, or in someone else's line of sight that allows you to be or stay in their conflict. Take a look and evaluate how you grew up. What was it like in your household? What was it like in your grandparents' household? What was it like going to grade school, junior high school, college? How did anger have an effect on you as you were growing up? If you grew up in an unpredictable household where there was violence, where there was fighting between your parents or fighting between your siblings, if you were exposed to that kind of energy and that kind of emotion, well, then your body started to react to that situation, meaning your body will begin to secrete a neurochemical based on stimulus and response, and there's a high probability that if you were exposed to that over a long period of time, that became a repressed and or a stuffed emotion. And if you lived in that kind of energy, there's also a high probability that if you weren't in the conflict, that now you will avoid conflict. So you will tell yourself that you don't like confrontation. Well, confrontation is not always anger-induced, but a byproduct of growing up with passive-aggressive people or aggressive people in your circle of influence is the high probability that it made you timid, made you shy, made you not engageable, made you not want to be in conflict, which will also hinder your ability to ask questions in a sequence in a selling environment or a sales experience. You learn to let go of your anxieties and stories about outcomes that do affect you and don't affect you. If you're an addicted storyteller telling yourself stories about future events that haven't happened so you can avoid conflict or failing, well, that becomes your excuse to avoid. If you're a chronic avoider, you're probably a chronic starter. And if you're a chronic starter and avoider, there's a high probability you're overwhelmed. If you're overwhelmed, you're probably unorganized. And these situations lead to a state where the body stays in a state called fight or flight. Now, if you're committed, you're serious, and you are seeking ways to let go, one of the easiest ways to begin to practice the let go technique is by breathing. Even though breathing sounds simple, elementary, and should be a proven technique to be able to let go, very few people have ever mastered breathing. Breathing is not something that you typically have to go to a class, you don't have to go to college, but you can learn breathing in yoga, you can learn breathing in any healing modalities, but you can learn breathing right here, right now by taking a breath. Anytime you take a deep breath down in your diaphragm, down in your groin, it creates a release in the neurological neurons that wire and fire together that form a feeling. As you begin to practice breathing daily, many people have very shallow breaths. They live in their upper chest up to the top of their head. They're not connected to their body. Their body runs their brain. They live in a fight or flight state, overwhelmed. They cry a lot. They're unorganized, undisciplined, and they go out of their way to serve others. I recently spoke to a woman who told me she felt guilty for not worrying about one of her relatives. Now, how does that even sound? I feel guilty for not worrying. And unfortunately, it's a very common occurrence that many people live in that overwhelmed state because of how they've been conditioned to behave. Breathing is a very simple, relaxed state of being where you can release anxieties that no longer serve you. I've had people say to me, so is that all I do is just breathe? No, not necessarily. But breathing is a technique and a skill to release anxieties about events that have not happened. Breathing is also a way to neutralize your anger. Instead of relapsing into anger, be able to create a reflex that allows you not to be angry. Metacognition means you're present, you're here, you're now, and you're able to catch yourself in mid-feeling so you can let go of an anxiety that has become your identity. If you don't know why you do what you do, you'll continue to do that which is familiar. As you begin to have a better awareness, a better acute understanding of cause and effect, as you can see yourself doing what you're doing, as you become clear, live in clarity, have clearly defined goals, and you begin to take your edge off, you're going to be a lot more approachable. You're going to be a lot more attractive. You want your energy to be energy of flow. You want your energy to be relaxed. You want to be able to have a relaxed emotional present that's very effective and engageable. But if you already have preconceived notions and stories about outcomes to be and stay disappointed, then that will allow you to be and stay angry. Now here are a few anger personalities that I have written about in a few of my books. In my book on chronic avoiding, which is called The Procrastination Cure, I touched on some of these, and in my book, The Anger Factor, I break down these. The angry giver. There's a high probability that you grew up with one of these people. An angry giver is typically a codependent enabler. And if you grew up in an alcoholic family or an addicted family, there's going to be a high probability that somewhere in your family there's an angry giver. It may be a parent. It possibly is one of your siblings. But there's a high probability that someone in your family, possibly even you, lost your innocence because you had to step to the plate and become a grown-up before your time. Now, if that is you and you're on tonight's call and you're seeking relief and release, then you're in the right place at the right time. I'll be offering bonus products at the end of this call that'll give you additional content along with the content I am sharing with you tonight. Angry giving typically leads to enabling, meaning you tend to over-obligate, do too much. Angry giving also means typically that you do not have boundaries, and you require healthy boundaries. Angry giving is also steeped typically in guilt, meaning you were guilted into doing situations, and now guilt has become one of your emotions, and you do a lot of your tasks and chores out of guilt. And if you put everyone else first, which there are qualities in that are still redeemable, but if you're last on the list and you seldom ever take care of yourself because you're addicted to taking care of others, there's a high probability you will be angry because you will not get the recognition you feel you deserve for your service. Now, service and value are a couple of ways that you can create more value in free enterprise, but you also must become a skilled receiver. But if you live in an overwhelmed state and you have challenges receiving, then that will relegate you to giving. And if giving is your identity, you're probably going to give your power away to the wrong people. And in this kind of energy, an angry giver tends to attract people to fulfill this situation. If you grew up in a family or a household where you had to take a role on before your time, as I stated earlier, there's a high probability you lost your innocence. Now, this will also show up as you build a leverage business, as you start to attract and bring people onto a team or a culture, and you have a leadership role, there's a high probability that you will overgive, overserve, do too much for people, and feel guilty when other people don't commit or fail. And people don't fail because of your leadership. People fail because they don't commit. And as you start to understand cause and effect, how predictable people are, you won't leave people behind. People will stay they are because it's where they want to stay. And you have to also understand that you having the courage to succeed may provoke other people's anger. If you grew up in a situation or in a circle of influence where there's a lot of average folks and a lot of average people being average, and you actually have the courage to do something with your life, or you're in a position that you're seeking change, well, your desire to change may make other people angry. And as you have a better understanding of how threatened people are, about you having the courage to change and you'll let go of some of these situations. I've actually seen many people sabotage themselves because someone else was angry that they had the courage to step out of the flock or step out of the sheep or cattle pen and enter the jungle. Now, if you enter the jungle and you have anxiety and have jungle fever and don't have jungle presence, there's a high probability you'll end up back in the sheep and the cow pasture with all the other sheep and cattle who are too scared and too angry to let go and succeed. Don't ever let anyone else rob you of your dreams, because if you do, you will tiptoe quietly through life and you will live the greatest pain, the pain of regret. So the angry giver is a very common personality. As a matter of fact, it encompasses most of society. Now, there are different levels of anger. In anger, there's a very subtle anger. There's the passive-aggressive anger. There's the hostile type of anger personality. There's the person who's the rage-aholic. There's the person who loses it. There's the person who stuffs their anger, and when they're angry, it erupts. And this type of held-on repressed anger is typically explainable and why so much of society is addicted, because society tends to stuff their feelings, their unresolved anger, with food, drugs, alcohol, compulsive spending, gambling, sex, anorexia, bulimia, underachieving, under-earning, avoidance, chronic procrastination, and a multitude of situations that lead to an emotional state where the body is in fight or flight, overwhelmed, chronically avoiding succeeding and or failing. Now, if I'm touching on some nerves tonight and you see yourself in some of this content, then be attentive to the rest of the call on some techniques on how to release and let go. First of all, to let go of anger, you must be aware that you're angry. You can't change when you stay in denial. This is what's interesting, is so many people are angry, are shocked if you ever point out to them they are angry. They have no idea how angry they are, because anger is an identity. As you begin to let go of the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your anger, it gives you space in your consciousness to attract your reality, a more quality person that you can collaborate. But if you live in anger, you're going to attract people to reality to fulfill your feelings of anger, low self-esteem, so you can be and stay disappointed. Being angry keeps you disappointed. It keeps you avoiding life. It keeps you alienating good people because of your own commitment issues. As you start to commit to the process and commit to yourself, now you can commit other like-minded success seekers, soulmates, or people you can connect with and collaborate with. The angry giver tends to mate with people who are angry. The angry giver tends to over-obligate themselves to victims of anger, people who are of addicts, and then it typically leads to disappointment. The angry giver typically leaves someone who's an anger addict and then ends up with another anger addict to fulfill their angry-giving tendencies. Now, let's take a look at the angry producer. Now, that would have been me for a large percent of my life. I grew up in a situation where I felt not good enough in many of the endeavors I took on. No matter what I would do, it wasn't good enough for some of my superiors, my coaches, and most of all, myself. And no matter what I did, I could never gain any peace. I developed a syndrome called TMJ, night grinding, and I would tend to grind my teeth at night because I lived in my unresolved anger. I thought it was a healthy edge, however, I learned real quickly I could never seem to drink that edge off. No matter how much Glenlivet, Glenfiddich, Dewar's, Stolichnaya, Absolute, or Finlandia back in my day, I would consume, drink, or imbibe, and I ended up eventually drinking a gallon of Popov vodka a day, all the way down to the worst of the worst, a gallon bottle of vodka in a plastic bottle. That's the depth of how far I graduated in my unresolved anger. When I started to get sober, I was a dry drunk, meaning that I was an angry drunk. As I started to have a better understanding of cause and effect, why I do what I do, I started to let go of the control that kept me in control of being out of control, of holding on to my repressed feelings that kept me angry. Early in my network marketing and direct sales career in the late 80s and early 90s, I would tend to attract people who didn't do a whole lot. I would do everything for them. I would do the conference calls, the three-way calls. I would do the hotel presentations for them. I would write sales copy for them. I'd do the whiteboard presentations. I would be Sir Galahad. I was looking for a Queen Guinevere to rescue. I would tend to attract people that I would rescue. I would prop them up, glue them into business, check their volume for them, close sales for them, put people in an organization to rank advance so I could rank advance, they could rank advance. It was exhausting. I was not a skilled leader. I was an angry producer. I could produce, but I could only produce to a level of a state. It's called the law of the lid. I could produce to a state that I control to feel out of control. I would graduate somewhere between $5,000 to $15,000 a month in the early 90s of my network marketing and direct sales career. In this type of situation, this is called the law of the money lid. It means you can only control yourself to so much control till you're out of control. And when you can't control your control, then you're out of control. Typically, the organizations that I would build would fall apart. I'd join another company that would go out of business so I could be and stay angry. I did this for several years, eventually ending up $100,000 in liability debt. I was an angry producer. I would produce out of anger, and by God, I was going to succeed if it killed me, and it almost did. Success is not worth dying for. Success should be a very relaxed emotional state where joy, bliss, and enlightenment is a big component of success, not anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings. How many of you grew up with an angry producer and then wanted you to be grateful for what you had? By God, I worked my ass off today, so be grateful for what you got. How many of you grew up with someone like that that would stress to you how you should be grateful for being in their circle of anger? And you would look at your feet, you'd look down because you didn't want to get noticed, didn't want to get in trouble, didn't want to make a mistake, because no matter what you did, it was never good enough. This is what creates our anxieties, events that shape our feelings. Then there's the angry procrastinator, and this is also a very common person. This person tends to hoard stuff, hold on to situations, because they might require it someday. This person tends to bask in training. They do a lot of training. They get ready to get ready. They're chronic starters and seldom finish. Then they become disappointed when they don't get the rewards. They typically use statements like, I'm not where I should be. I thought after 3 years in this business, 3 years in free enterprise, 3 years of setting my ass doing nothing, I thought I'd be a lot further along than I am. And see, that's the angry procrastinator. Now, if you're the angry procrastinator, it really means you're the angry avoider. The angry avoider, like most anger victims, have entitlement issues. They feel entitled to success but don't want to pay the price of success. The angry avoider typically is brilliant. They're intelligent. They know more than a lot of people are successful. They're book smart. They're not street smart. They tend to live in the neocortex of their left brain in an overwhelmed, uncommitted state. And if this is you tonight, then take a good look at cause and effect and why you do what you do. Why you do is events. Events are shape your feelings. My innate skill to assist people to understand cause and effect, why they do what they do, has allowed me to coach over 12,000 clients, 60,000 hours one-on-one. Today, I coach 12 hours just like I do practically every day. This Saturday, I'll speak in front of a few hundred people just like I do every Saturday, and I'll fly 150,000 air miles. That's the routine of business ownership. Owning a business does not give you freedom. Owning a business gives you an EIN number, an employee identification number. The rest is up to you. If you want your freedom, it's going to come from a leveraged business, and if you're going to create a leveraged business, that means you have to be relatable. That means you have to be a committer. That means you have to be a closer. You have to build a culture, build a team. You have to be in the process one day at a time over a long career as you develop skills, habits, and mindset of the type of person you seek to become. As you begin to set clearly defined short-term goals, as you start to develop your habits, your mindset, then you won't be as angry when you don't get a result because you become realistic. As you start to understand metacognition, you're able to objectively view a situation for what it is, hold yourself accountable for what you do and don't do, develop a different level of responsibility, ability to respond. You start to relax into the business process of being a business owner. You start to develop and hone your reflexes. You start to master the emotional skills that allow you to master the skills of owning a business. Then you've heightened your law of average. Not only have you heightened your law of average, you're going to heighten your law of attraction. Your law of attraction becomes the science of attraction when you understand cause and effect and why you do what you do. We are energetic beings. The lowest transmutation of energy is guilt, followed by shame, abandonment, rejection, overwhelm feelings. The highest level of anxiety is anger, hate, and resentment. But even at the highest level of anxiety, anger calibrates out only about 180 cycles a second. Whereas awareness, love, joy, and bliss, you start to transmute your feelings in measured energy at somewhere between 350 to 500 cycles a second. When you're in that type of awareness, that type of enlightenment, your law of attraction, your science of attraction is much higher. The probability of you attracting someone in a relaxed release state versus an angry, overwhelmed state is just like slim to none. None rode out and slim mounted up. As you begin to live in a very relaxed body, as you begin to live in an aware body, as you're no longer conflict conscious, as you're able to confront yourself and confront others very diplomatically without losing your composure, as you no longer find yourself in the ring, in fights, in fisticuffs, as you're no longer in conflict, you're no longer in road rage, you're no longer in arguments, you're no longer proving people right, and you're no longer finding the flaws, then you're going to be in a much higher state of consciousness. When you have to find the flaws in people, be right, prove them wrong, then you're living in a very low vibrational state, in an overwhelmed state where you are seeking conflict. As you no longer require conflict, seek conflict, create conflict, then you're going to live in a much more organized, disciplined state, attracting your reality to higher law of averages, quality, like-minded entrepreneurs that you can collaborate with. Collaboration is the key to compensation when it comes to network marketing, direct sales, and any type of leverage business. To be able to max out a compensation plan, hit the bonus pools, start to receive bonus money, you require to understand what is required of you to attract the kind of people that you can create a business with. If you were ahead of a football team, you'd require a left tackle. If you have a right-handed quarterback, you'd require a shutdown cornerback, not a quarterback, cornerback who could run about a 4.2 or 4.3 40. You'd require a wide receiver who could create separation. It required a defensive end who would rush. These would be your key players. Well, the same situation happens if you own a business. You require people who have like mind that you have as you are evolving. You're looking for someone who's health and image conscious, someone who's already disciplined, someone who's not an addicted dieter, an addicted relapser. You're not looking for someone who lives in fight or flight, angry all the time. You have to get beyond romancing someone's potential, and you have to be able to attract people who are living their potential. Now, you may be able to mentor some people, lead some people. That's great, but you also have the ability, as you begin to evolve, to be able to attract people who are already in the process. This heightens your law of average. You're not looking for people at rock bottom, although there are people at rock bottom who can succeed in your team, and you also must learn how to meet people where they are. And then that way you won't be angry when someone fails. As you start to understand the different levels of anger, why you do what you do, as you let go of your angry procrastination, and as you let go of being an angry entrepreneur, you're in free enterprise to live the good life. You're in free enterprise to create and attract what the free market will bear. You're in free enterprise to be able to serve, give, and empower other people. As you start to understand your role in business, as you start to understand what is required of you to be and stay in business, then you won't be the angry procrastinator. You won't be the angry producer. You won't be the angry giver, and you won't be the angry entrepreneur. I've encountered many people who are successful, but they have no peace. They have the success they desired, but what they found out is when they got what they wanted, they found out that it really wasn't what they wanted. Money won't give you peace of mind. Success won't give you peace of mind. You will give yourself peace of mind when you let go. As you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that create your anxiety, specifically anger, unresolved anger, resentment, and grudges you hold on to, then you start to create a space for people to find you. People mythically, magically begin begin to show up. And as you show up in your life and create a livelihood, then your energetic, emotional vibration will begin to change. As you are changing how you've been changing, you'll attract your reality more frequently, someone of like mind that you can collaborate, build a business with, partner with. You also want to be able to attract people who are self-reliant, self-starters, self-assured, have self-esteem. They don't require your attention. They don't require you to mentor them. They show up because they've shown up, because you attracted them. As you start to attract the two or three people that you can create an enterprise with, an empire with, a flourishing team, and you don't create conflict with them to provoke your anger, then it's going to be a win-win situation. I've also seen people who attracted the very situation or person that they required to build a business and then sabotage that relationship because of their own low self-esteem. I've seen this, so that person could be angry and say, I knew this would happen to me. This always happens to me. My business always falls apart. Always becomes a key word because always becomes an identity. If you're always overwhelmed, that doesn't give you much space to let go. If you're always angry, that doesn't give you much space to have peace. If this always happens to you, then you've predicted your future by living in the present, speaking into existence, the reality you seek to create so you can be and stay angry. As you let go of your unresolved anger, letting go is not a how-to. Letting go is a commitment. You let go one day at a time. Well, that sounds great, but how do I? How do you? You do it by committing. You become aware. You live in a place called metacognition. You're able to see the situation for what it is objectively without personalizing it. You begin to let go of your feelings of abandonment, being rejected. You let go of your hostility and your overwhelmed state. You start to be and stay a lot more loving than you've ever been before. You give yourself permission to connect with people. You have a different understanding of what the word vulnerable means. You practice a different type of vulnerability. As you begin to let go of anger, you change your thoughts, your actions, and you change your emotions. How do I do that? You do it one day at a time. Now, that sounds cliche. It's not. It's a fact. You do it one day at a time. If you can go one day without being critical of yourself or others, then you have a day of sobriety. And you can start to live in that space. I asked a few people today that I was coaching, can you finish the day without being critical? Autonomically, the first words out of their mouth with how difficult that was going to be. They started to tell me stories and how challenging it would be. I'm my worst critic, and they went on a drunkalogue about, and they started to edify how they're going to be critical, even though I just asked them not to be critical. What would that look like, not being critical? It means you'd start to love yourself. You'd give yourself permission. If you made a mistake, it wouldn't be the end of the world. It'd be a simple error in judgment. You'd let go of being critical of yourself and others. You'd be objective, but you wouldn't be critical. You'd be honest, but you wouldn't be critical. You'd be realistic without being critical. Here's how critical looks. I can't believe I did this to myself again. I can't believe it. This always happens to me. I'm so dumb. I'm stupid. That's what many people say. They have no idea what they're saying to themselves in their self-talk. They check out. They laugh. They de-edify themselves. They talk about how difficult something's going to be in the future. They get overwhelmed, and they make mistakes. Even though you seek to make mistakes, a lot of society is mistake-prone. They make mistakes to get attention because bad love is better than no love. As you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings, and you begin to communicate with your feelings, meaning you don't communicate with your left brain, you begin to communicate with your right brain. That's your intuitive self. That's your creative self. That's your innovative self. As you start to live in that kind of innovation, start to develop a vision of your present and a vision of your future, you start to have clarity of your definite of purpose. As you start to live in that space, then you begin to magnetize and attract your reality, the very situation that you seek to create, because you become passionate about it. See, passion and anger are similar. Many people are so angry they can't connect with their passion because they've repressed it. The only energy that they have that's connected to passion is angry, and they stay angry. Anger creates an energy. If you can channel your energy into something that's constructive rather than what's destructive, then you can begin to harness that energy. As you begin to let go of your unresolved anger, it creates a new space for you to be a different kind of competitive. You learn to compete compete with yourself, not being intimidated by others. You don't make unfavorable comments because of your own low self-esteem. You don't judge others because you judge yourself. If you are your worst critic, if you're very judgmental, that means you're also judgmental of yourself. Even though you may inflate your ego by telling yourself how great you are, underneath it all, you know you're not, because you're a pathological liar, living a set of lies that keep you emotionally addicted to a set of feelings that keep you overwhelmed and addicted to drugs, alcohol, pharmaceutical medication, any multitude of situations that keep you a chronic relapser. And you don't relapse because you relapse typically because you're angry. You set yourself up to be violated. You attract to reality people that will disappoint you. You overwhelm yourself and never get off the mat so you can be angry at yourself. Most anger is directed inward first, outward second. Meaning when you are an angry personality, you're angry at yourself for being average or less than. You're angry at yourself for not accomplishing it. In that type of energy, you will typically blame other people for your shortfalls and your shortcomings and your challenges, because you are not objective, living in denial. You can't release your anger when you're in denial. When you let go of the cause that creates the effect, meaning when you start to understand the events, when you realize why you do what you do, then letting go becomes a skill. But you can't be skilled at letting go if you continue to hold on to what you do. You repress and stuff your feelings. You be and stay angry. Do your best to go one whole day without being angry. That day would begin tonight whenever you commit, provided you're committed. A 24-hour anger flush. As you begin to let go of your feelings about being abandoned, violated, neglected, left behind, you got put in a position you had to be a caretaker, a giver, a server. You had to take on a role as a grown-up. You had to provide for your family. You had to give your money to your family. Any multitude of situations that created your feelings of being violated, those are your feelings that create your anger. As you let go of your emotional feelings that you hold on to, as you separate your feelings from the events that shape them, then you will no longer be the mind-body connection to the unconscious state where you are angry. As you let go of your anger, once again, you're going to be a lot more attractive. You're going to stuff your feelings a lot less. You won't be dieting as frequently because you won't be stuffing your feelings. You won't require food to fulfill your low self-esteem. As you start to give yourself permission to be the person you know you're capable of becoming without having to explain, validate, justify yourself, without making excuses, without chronic starting and not finishing, then you will no longer be the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your anger. Letting go of anger is taking a deep breath. Letting go of anger is being aware of it. You cannot let go of what you're not aware of. You do not let go physically because anger is an emotion. It's not something you wrestle with. It is something that becomes your conscious state. As you make a choice not to be and stay angry, you practice the discipline to share love, joy, bliss, enlightenment. As you start to live in that space, as you live in an awareness, as you let go of your doubt, fears, and anxieties, then you will begin to change your energy. And it's that kind of energy that will attract your reality, a more quality, like-minded individual that you can partner with. But if you continue to attract the same kind of situations, to be and stay disappointed, well, that will fulfill your anger. As you begin to understand why you're angry, you'll start to communicating with yourself differently. As you begin to practice forgiveness of self and others, the person that requires the most forgiveness of yourself. Look at all you've done to yourself. Look how you've abused yourself. Look how you've violated yourself. Look how you've underachieved, under-earned, never lived up to your potential. Well, you're here and you're now, and now is now. Now can be a defining moment of your life because of one decision, one commitment. One decision can change your life. December 17th, 1987, I got clean and sober and have never relapsed since. That one decision changed my life. That was after 14 years of an abuse, of neglect, being angry all the time, and a whole series of other emotions that led to me being and staying in fight or flight. Forgiveness, as you begin to practice forgiveness, as you start to let other people go who you hold accountable for your feelings, as you start to forgive people for their transgressions, their violations, the events that shaped your feelings, then you can separate your feelings from the events so you're no longer a victim. You can recognize being victimized, but that doesn't mean you're the victim of that transgression. As you begin to let go of that, then you won't attract people and situations to fulfill that anger that you continue to hold on to. When you hold on to an emotion, when you hold on to an event, those events create emotions. Those events create a lasting memory. When you suppress and repress your feelings, then you say you don't know why you do what you do. That's because you live in a repressed, overwhelmed state. Now that means you're going to require outside ulterior substances to fulfill your low self-esteem. That's what leads to drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, anorexia, bulimia, procrastination, of chronic avoidance, under-earning, underachieving, a whole multitude of emotional addictions that perpetuate a set of feelings. As you begin to let go of and forgive, it liberates you. Forgiveness allows you to no longer hold on to a connection where you tell yourself a story. As you begin to let go of the people who you harmed or harmed you, you begin to change your energy. As you begin to catch anger at the beginning rather than feel it at the end, then you won't alienate yourself as much. You won't embarrass yourself as much. You won't have people avoiding you. It's a common fact that when you're angry all the time, you're going to alienate a lot of good people because you're sending a signal that you're not good enough. As you let go of some of these anxieties that have formed your identity, you will no longer be the mind-body connection to the events that change your feelings. You'll also, a byproduct of this, is you will virtually, in a relatively short period of time, change what you attract, change what you feel, and change who you are. Now, if you're on tonight's call and you've connected with any of the content that I've shared and distributed with you, here's a way you can pick up some bonus materials that will give you deeper insight in how to let go of your unresolved anger. Now, this is my Tuesday night call package. I typically don't have a package on this call, but tonight my team, the Golden Mastermind Internet Marketing Team, Carolyn Olson, Chris Schar, put together a package for you. The package will include my Anger Factor book. This is a bestseller that you can purchase on my website for $20. Right now, that book is not in every Barnes & Noble bookstore. You can find it online, but you can order it directly from my website or receive it in the package that I'm offering you tonight. My package tonight is an $824 value. It includes the Anger Factor book. It will include an ebook and audiobook for $37. It will also include an Anger Factor video training course that retails for $497. This is an online course. The bonus material will also receive an Anger Factor workbook. That's a downloadable workbook. A free 15-minute coaching session with me. That's a $250 value. And 7 hours of bonus online training. That's a total of $824. You may purchase that tonight for $97. You'll go directly to this landing page to purchase your $97 value, theangerfactorbook.com/holiday. I'll say that one more time. You can go directly to this landing page, theangerfactorbook.com/holiday. My name is Jeffrey Combs. It's been my unequivocal privilege and pleasure to be on this call with you tonight. I've suited up and showed up for every single Tuesday of the calendar year 2016. This is my last call of 2016. We will re-engage 1 week from tonight, the first Tuesday in January. I want to thank every one of you for being loyal followers, first-class human beings and friends, great clients, collaborators. I'm looking forward to having a great year in 2017 with you. Everyone, finish the year strong. Have a great evening, great night. Have a great new year, and I love all of you. Have a great evening. Good night.